singing better and fellowship closer. I got a grateful gram from John Ekblad, and it's in response to Turkey Day or Tea Day. He wants to call Thanksgiving Gratefulness Day. That's how he wants to greet people. Still holds the idea of Thanksgiving, but a different word to help people really think about the meaning of the season. I think for a lot of us, naming the top couple days, favorite holidays of the year, Thanksgiving, I hate to see it pass. It ranks way up there in my heart. I love Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We have so much to be thankful for. Tonight, Lord, we just want to share and thank you together and worship together, reflect together, and even anticipate a couple nights we'll be together again. And we just want to keep you, Lord, foremost in our thinking. Kind of reminds us about our vocation of eternity as we'll be thanking you forever. We want to be busy about that now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said, "A grateful spirit should ever be cultivated by the Christian." I just love what he said here. Earth should be a temple filled with the songs of grateful saints. And every day should be a censer smoking with the sweet incense of thanksgiving. So think about that as an earth pictured as a temple for the songs of the saints. Plymouth, in the words of her founders, a book by Dr. Paul Giel, "Let us not forget the religious character of our origin. Our fathers were brought hither by their high veneration of the Christian religion. They journeyed by its light and labored by it in its hope. They sought to incorporate its principles with the elements of their society and to diffuse its influence through all their institutions, civil, political, and literary." And those were the remarks by Daniel Webster in a dedication of Pilgrim Hall in 1820. William Bradford, way back in the Plymouth plantation, shared the motives of the pilgrims facing those hardships coming to our shores. A great hope and inward zeal they had of laying some good foundation, or at least to make some way thereunto, for the propagating and advancing the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in those remote parts of the world. Yea, they should be but stepping stones unto others for the performing of so great a work. What a visionary. Stepping stones. Indeed, even today we keep walking through from those stones that they began to lay. And then among the monuments at Plymouth Rock commemorating this heroism, Bradford, 10 years after their arrival, wrote, "Thus out of small beginnings, greater things have been produced by his hand that made all things from nothing and gives being to all things that are, and as one small candle may light a thousand, so the light here kindled hath shone unto many. Yea, in some sort, to our whole nation, let the glorious name of Jehovah have all the praise." Ephesians chapter 5 tells us, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." There was that ridiculous idea back in pagan religion that to get drunk through the stupor of those things, you got a higher state of consciousness in your drunkenness to commune with deities. And that's how Timothy Leary borrowed from that in the 50s for the drug culture. Transcend, touch the infinite through getting high. Well, Paul corrects them to say, you know, you won't commune with God that way, but be filled with the Spirit and always giving thanks. And so we see here in verse 19, Ephesians 5, speaking to yourselves, and here's the outworking of this in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always. How about that? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have to say my spirit feels a little crushed tonight. You know, it's interesting. Our church is such a good church. We used to sing in Our Father's World. This is Our Father's World in Hawaii. We had a thriving, just a powerful church. A lot of young exuberance and excitement and witnessing and growing Christians. But it seems like in every church, just about every church, there's some little corner, just some little carping critic, somebody. Got all these great people, but somebody criticizing. We don't have that here. That's kind of unique here. Also unique here, I find, of course, we got some older people, but, you know, as far as visiting, like Bob, no, don't bother. It's all right. And, you know, testing Jim. Jim, we're willing to come see you anytime. Just let us know. I will. He doesn't want us to go see him. Hospital. He said, well, my family will be there. And I think it points to some things. And, you know, Bob closed in. Maisie bumping her head today. That crushes my spirit. Jim coughing up blood. Man, I just feel bad. I feel bad about that. Barbara can't get out. Got that pain. Comes and goes. Seems like it must come more than it goes. It's hard. I just wonder from you, how is it? Suppose it's your day, you're closed in the house, you can't get out. Maybe you're in the hospital and you say, no, don't come to see me. Why might that be? I mean, there's positive reasons behind that. Why might that be? Why might they say that? I never come see you, brother. Poor Steve. You suppose they just got that peace in their hearts, as Irina suggested, just a peace in their hearts, a fulfillment within, a contentment even in the storm, a sense of not really needing anything except the presence of the Lord, good care of those around him. Maybe that's it, huh? Suppose that's it? Is there more to it than that? Heather? What's that?
I wouldn't like
to be seen
in there like that.
Oh! Yeah, kind of a humility about that. Like, yeah. Rather, you see me on a better day. Lots of support. Well, go along with this too, as Sharon brought out tonight. There's a contact she has that is going on hospice. So might it be that, you know, our dear folks, strong Christians, I mean, one thing it points to is the strength in their spirit through their faith. They're kind of like setting others free, like, no, you go do what you need to do. As Sharon pointed out, there's one going on hospice, apparently soon to be dying, needs a call. Pastor, where'd you go there? Glad to go there. Those who are strong in the faith, they know, hey, we have need of nothing. We have the Lord. Well, here in verse 20, giving thanks always. Giving thanks always. I think, well, how can I give thanks for Maisie's bump on her head? For Jim and the coughing up? And giving thanks always. Well, we can give thanks that they know the Lord. They're saved. Hallelujah. They've had good, strong lives. productive lives serving the Lord. We have our down times, we have our weak times, but we have a lot to give thanks always. That's what the Word of God instructs us to do. For all things unto God might crush our spirit in a sense, just because we hurt for them. We also praise God for them, what God has done for them. And it's all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says. And so, giving thanks always, constantly thanking the Lord. And this is what the context. This is what a spirit-filled person does. If you're not thankful, you are not spirit-controlled. That's what the spirit-controlled person does, giving thanks unto God. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So it's to be thankful, even as you're giving your petitions and your prayers unto God. We have something very much to be thankful for. It's the attitude of total thanks, trust. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Peace of God. With this, I was thinking about a flight that Irene took in Alaska. And we got a lot of flying time. Right, Irene? How about just stand up, look at the people, and just share what that flight was like when you were taken across the lake for a Bible study? What? Share as many as you want to. Yes, and we are all ears. But, yeah, please, take your time. Pilots would say, you know, you take off from one village and the wind's going this way and you go 10 miles and you look at the windsock and the wind is going this way. And, you know, you got to have some of the best pilots in the world up there in Alaska flying through those skies. And I think about half the small airplanes in the United States is up in Alaska. And so they rely so much upon airplanes. We did too, to get around the lake. One thing about it, up in those wind currents, there's lots of times great turbulence. Going across Prince William Sound, our son asked if, you know, plane turned around and went backwards because the windows blew open and everything. And it was really, really an amazing experience. But you know what? Some of the, Irene is, they're trying to land. A plane went up beyond the pilot's control. It's just amazing. Where's the wind going to blow, this way or down or sideways when you're trying to get onto that runway? You got to be a good pilot. Well, that might describe, you know, some of the turbulences blowing against your life tonight. The winds and the storms and the hard times. And in times like that, we just really need to hear the pilot's voice. Irene listened to the pilot. He said, I think we're going to try this again. Verse 6 here says, be careful for nothing. Seems like in modern language, it's just a difficult way about saying, don't be anxious. Don't be worried and stressed out when you're going through your turbulent times and your circumstances. You know, it's a scary ride. You can respond, tell God and everything by prayer and supplication. Tell God. And with thanksgiving to the Lord, let your requests be made known unto God. So you tell God, let your requests be made known unto God. We're thankful. Why? We have a sense of his care. Just like our brothers and sisters in their struggles. The result is, you know, same as in flying, it's a smoother landing. Trust the pilot. You're in for a smoother landing for your ride. Peace with God. Verse 7, peace of God. Peace of God. That's what our brothers and sisters have. That's what we have tonight. Surpasseth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds for Jesus Christ. So as you try to deal with the problems in our own strength, we get knocked around. It looks very powerful because we compare the problems by what we can do to counter them. No wonder it's a great problem, and there's no peace in that. But the peace begins when we compare the size of our problems to the size of our God. And so with thanksgiving, verse 6, it's very important. All this with thanksgiving. So consciously, we want to reflect on our own list of things that we can be thankful for to the Lord. Oswald Chambers said, I refuse to worry. Great Christian. I refuse to worry. And that's a great self-discipline, because if you're worrying, you know and I know, because of the times we've done it, it paralyzes you emotionally. Solves nothing. Kind of insults God in a way, because God has promised to take care of us and here we are worrying. Like he might not see us through. So when turbulent hits, refuse to worry. Keep trusting the pilot. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, we look at life and measure our life. We often talk about it in years. Or we might talk about our birthdays. How do we measure life? We might be talking about, you know, it's this long until retirement. It's this long until somebody says, I'm going to get married. A little girl that's adopted us, now she's a big girl and she's engaged. There's a picture on Facebook where her fiance is on his knees presenting her the ring. It's just so long now. And for Jenny, until they get married, that's how they measure time. Or how long until I can retire? How long until vacation? Somebody, they said, thought he had 20 years of experience. He's just repeating the same year over again 20 times. Slow learner. Well, there's several recommendations I'd like to think about with you, you know, for a better Thanksgiving and soon to come 2015. Recommendation number one, live it today. You know, we have two challenges in our life. One is things that happened yesterday, and the other is what's going to happen tomorrow. Those are challenges. We don't want to be the people that just live in the past or just dream about the future. We want to live it today. by God's grace, God's strength. Jesus basically is saying here, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now and don't be worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. That's a paraphrase from the Message, Matthew 7:34. Second recommendation, say it today. Some people have problems with this, trying to find the words to encourage others. They care very deeply, but the words come hard. You don't hear the words of encouragement very often. It's like the old farmer who says, you know, to his wife, I love you so much that sometimes it is all that I can do to keep from saying so. Make it a practice of encouraging others with your words and how you value them. Recommendation number three, pray about it today. We sing, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Joseph Scriven, who wrote those words after his fiancée drowned through a tragic boating accident. But he knew, and we know, it's still true. And so pray about it today as he did. Recommendation four, refuse to worry about it today. Well, how can we refuse to worry? Well, first, pray about it. The thing that you're tending to, right, tend to worry about, pray about it first. Remind yourself that God is faithful. God cannot lie. God will hear our cry. God knows the end from the beginning. We don't have to worry about everything, but we can pray about everything. Tell God our needs. But then, as in Philippians 4:6, then don't forget to thank Him. Thanking God. Recommendation five, smell the flowers today. Someone noticed that, you know, watching people in their 80s, they comment a lot more about the little things of life, like smelling the flowers. They've learned to just enjoy that which is small. And if we do that, it helps put life in perspective. Just slow down. Notice everything beautiful. Appreciate it and thank God for it. Recommendation six, trust God today. You know, tomorrow's not as important as today. It isn't tomorrow, it's today. Right now it's today. So you can say, dear God, just for today I'm going to trust you with all my heart. I refuse to live in tomorrow until tomorrow comes. I'm going to live today. And Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself, Matthew 6:34. Recommendation seven, have a blessed day today. Make that your heart. And so, you know, as we follow these recommendations, they are live it today, say it today, pray about it today, refuse to worry about it today, trust God today, have a blessed day today. And God blesses us because we put Him first when we walk in the light of His Word. And it's a redundancy here. We see it over and over and over again. Give thanks. God says give thanks. Keep giving thanks. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. If you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding thereunto with thanksgiving. And so it's essential. Our hearts overflowing with gratitude to the Lord. Thomas Hardy said, some people can find a manure pile in any meadow. Just negative. And so don't be negative. Doesn't matter what's going on, they always are negative, or generally negative. Negative remarks. Some of these negative remarks, you know, from hospitals are not good, but they're not accurate either. Someone said she was numb from her toes down. Numb from her toes. That's an interesting comment. Negative comment, the patient refused autopsy. Pretty clever patient, I'd say. Third, I saw your patient today who is still under our car for therapy. Forgot the E on car. Still under our car. Well, here we have in Colossians 3, 15 and 16, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts to that which also ye are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If you're one of those people who just loves to whistle, loves to sing, it is connected to being filled with the Spirit. So who takes more abuse? You know, you think about baseball. Is it maybe the manager who makes a bad call? Is it maybe the player who makes a bad decision? Well, it's mostly the umpire. Seems like the fans love to hate. Because they make close calls. They're officials in the ball game. This is a ball or a strike, and you can't please everybody. It's foul or fair. They make the call. You know, it's really, they're the ones that need to speak the most when it's needed the most, because not all those things are obvious. You can't leave it to the players to decide. Somebody has to decide, safe or out. It's the umpire who decides. So, it's more than just a game in life. In our decisions, safe or out. What is safe for me to do? What is out of bounds? God says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It's a word like in a ball game for umpire. Let the peace of God umpire in your hearts. What's the peace of God in this? We're out in the bush of Alaska. One day I told our field administrator, you know, we just don't have peace about living here anymore. Only 80 people in our village, about 150 down the village. I couldn't get anywhere else without an airplane. I didn't have an airplane. We had to rely on others to fly us around. Couldn't afford others on a regular basis to fly us. So I was taking these thousands and thousands of dollars for our family to live out in a place where people really weren't excited to hear the gospel anyway. And you know, I was hearing about the teeming millions of Mexico City. And it was really the leading of the Lord came to the place I didn't have peace in my heart about being there anymore. So I shared that with a field administrator. I said, you know, I think we need to move. I hear about great needs over in Canada. Maybe we need to go to Canada. He said, go for it. Three of the greatest words in our memory. I mean, we love it. But it's about the peace of God to say you're safe or you're out of bounds. And we just can't decide upon our feelings, can't rely upon our feelings, but it's the one who's leaning on the Lord, the one who's studying the Word of God, the one who's seeking God in all decisions. Most of all, we want to glorify God in all of our lives. Then as we're close to God, God ministers to that peace in our hearts. It's the peace in our hearts that's the umpire call here. When we're struggling with a decision, we need to get it right. And the Holy Spirit says, go for it. Praying fervently. It's for those who are close to God and listening to Him. So the peace of God is tied here to the Word of God also. A lot of people get all mixed up in a wild, fanatical style of Christian lives. A lot of it doesn't glorify God at all because they're going by their feelings. And the Spirit told me that you're going, yeah, but the Word of God tells me something else. Word of God's already spoken of that issue. I don't know what spirit you're listening to, but if that is contrary to the Word of God, that's another spirit and you're deceived. You're running on your emotions instead of following God's way. That's very clear in His Word. First of all, we cannot manipulate God's will by imposing our own. Might feel all kinds of things, but if it's not in accord with the Word of God, it's not right. God will not contradict Himself. So you never know what God wants until, you know, you are in step with God. It's not about us, you know, writing up a contract, sending it up to God. God, would you sign my contract? This is what I want to do. It's more like this. We sign the blank sheet of paper, leaving the future to God, and say, God, as you reveal your will to God, to me, it's already settled. I will follow you. That's Jesus in Gethsemane. Yet not my will, but yours be done. As he's looking towards the cross. So we have this infallible umpire. Safe, out, what's out of bounds? What's safe for me? I must follow the Lord. And so here we have Paul and Silas in jail, and they're singing, praising God. Hallelujah. I mean, what examples for us in Thanksgiving. Always thankful, always thankful. That's what God's looking for in our hearts too. What do they have to be thankful about? Even in writing to the messed up church, Corinth. I mean, what's greater messed up than Corinth? But Paul writes, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I thank my God always for you. Are you kidding? How come you're thanking God for Corinth? And then he goes off to tell them about all their sins. He lists all their, most of the rest of the books about their sins. What a mess. He's pointing out here that their problems shouldn't mess with your thankfulness. A lot of people got problems. That should not mess with your thankfulness. What do you got to be thankful about? Just like our dear ones. We're thankful they're saved. Paul was thankful as Corinth. At least they're saved. At least they're saints. Even though they're screwed up. Even though they broke his heart. The outstanding model here we have is Jesus Christ. He said, I praise thee, O Father. He's approaching the cross. It's like, I praise you for the privilege of serving you, Father. Matthew 11:25-30. His heart's in agony. It's hard to comprehend what he's going to face. But repeatedly we find Jesus pouring out thanks. Even at the tomb of Lazarus, Mary says, well, he's been dead 4 days, you know. He stinketh. I mean, it's got to be revolting when the stone is moved. Horrifying stench. Comes out alive. But Jesus prays. You would think, why would he have to say this? He says, Father, I thank thee. But thou heardest me. I mean, the plan of him coming to earth was equally his with the Father. He's already God. Why thank the Father? He knew the loving heart of God. He knew the loving heart of the Father. That the Lord was using him in ministry. The Father was hearing his prayer. The Father would allow him to suffer on the cross and to die for us sinners that we could be saved. And he wanted to express his thankfulness. So again and again, Scripture tells us this is what God wants to hear. Again and again, thankful heart. I get up in the morning with thanksgiving, with praise. Praise, praise, praise. But go to bed at night with thanks for God's goodness to us, God's will for us. Let me share quickly. Hindering gratitude is doubt. Some people don't have much gratitude, but they got a lot of doubt. What are they doubtful about? The sovereignty of God. Like God's not really in charge. Is God really all wise? Does God know everything? Maybe does God really love me through this? Does God have my best interests in mind? If you got all them doubts, you're not going to be thankful. Be thankful for everything, knowing God's power, God's wisdom, God's purpose, God's love. If you don't really think God is going to be there for you, you're going to have a problem being thankful. In fact, there's counselors today who tell people, it's all right, get angry at God. Just get angry at God. Tell him all about it. God's big. God can handle it. You know, it's still a sin to get angry at God. Trying to tell God off. That's ignorance of a sovereign God in heaven who's working all things for our purpose, for his purpose, and for our good and his glory. He's always in control. Also hindering gratitude is selfishness. Some people are like, no matter what I've got, I don't have what I want. I don't have enough. My will is more important than God's will. I got to tell God what I got to have. I know what I want. That'll destroy gratitude. Also, destroying gratitude is wanting different circumstances, like to be insistent, like I've got to have things different, God. I've got to have that different job. I've got to have that different wife or something like that. Here we are in America. They say, maybe these are old statistics, but close enough, 6% of the world's population we're blessed with 33% of the world's production power, 33% of the world's college enrollment, 49% of the world's telephones, 50% of the world's air travel, 60% of the world's automobiles. I don't know, I think there's places catching up with us. For one thing, we're dropping. We have, you know, televisions, running water, electric washers and dryers. And even among the poor, we have a lot of this, but in underprivileged countries, they struggle for food and shelter. Someone wrote, we have the freedom to learn and freedom to earn. We have freedom to move and freedom to improve. We have freedom to gather or not if we'd rather. We have freedom to believe, to write, talk, give, or receive. So we may ask, Lord, thou hast given me many things. Now yet give me one more. That ungrateful heart. if it's a demanding attitude. So, looking at this, what drives our agenda? If we have trouble saying, Lord, I'm satisfied in you, but I only want more, then we're going to have trouble with gratitude. If we can say, I only want what God wants, and I believe God will give me what he wants me to have, then you'll be thankful. Worldliness corrupts thankfulness. If you're worldly, you're looking at the world, you're not looking at God, you're not going to have a thankful attitude. If you're just into pleasure, people, places, possessions, pursuits, popularity, and prestige, that's the stuff of this world, and you're going to have trouble being thankful. You're never going to have it all. I mean, if you get something, you won't have enough. Unless you're looking at the Lord and you're just thankful to be saved, thankful for him. Another reason people miss thankfulness is a critical spirit, a sour attitude. I don't see sour attitudes here, but some people have that, and you've seen it. Sour attitude, it's unrealistic expectations. And it's people that are controllers. They think they got to control everything. Whatever they can't control bothers them. So they feed it like a monster. Builds a habit. Unchecked, that'll smash any sense of a thankful heart. Just a critical attitude. Other people are not like me. Other people don't measure up. What's wrong with everybody else? That becomes the monster to slay as a tongue goes after them to run them down. So the importance of gratitude. Another problem with gratitude is impatience. Think about that. Why is that? Well, it's the idea that, you know, God is not moving fast enough. God's not keeping up with my timetable. I want it now. And so it's like God's not on my schedule. God's not keeping his appointments. So they want God to work when they want him to work, and they haven't learned to be patient. Let God unfold his purposes. Let us believe God knows better than we do about it. Another problem with thankfulness that people don't have is just cold hearts, lack of zeal for God. That kills gratitude. So it's our time with God that excites gratitude. Rebellion, any kind of rebellion in our heart, that's going to be trouble. God says always, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. If we're rebellious against God, we're not going to be thankful. And so things don't go the way we wanted. All of that is sin. Doubts, selfishness, worldliness, critical spirit of other people, impatience with God's schedule, cold hearts. Shame on us. We have so much to be thankful for in America. Goodness and mercy of God, always available. Christ Jesus, the Bible speaks of as God's unspeakable gift to us. Wow, don't you? I mean, he alone is reason to be thankful every day. And so, if a church is really to be a lively church in the Lord, with his life to flow through us, it'll be through spirit of gratitude. Even in trials, even when people's suffering breaks our heart, there's a lot to be thankful for and praise God. So may God fill our hearts with joy and praise no matter what happens. In everything, give thanks. How good God is. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We believe that. If we didn't believe that, probably feet would not have walked through the doors here tonight. People of praise, people of trust, people of thankfulness. Because we know you are a great God, and Lord, we pray that you will help us to expand that spirit, broaden that through others that we meet now through the holidays. And Lord, we do pray for our brothers and sisters. We do pray, Lord, for Jim's health. We do pray, Lord, for Barbara's healing. We do pray, Lord, for Maisie that her head would heal. We do pray, Lord, for Bob and Peggy in their strength. Oh, yes. And we do pray, Lord, for the one that Sharon mentioned, probably a lost soul, drawing close to that first step into eternity. We pray for that one to be saved. We thank you, Lord, for our salvation. Help us keep that spirit of praise. We know, Lord, through the scriptures, You're listening for that. You're watching for that. It means everything to you. It needs to be important to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.